Christian Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Good morning. If you are joining us for the first time, we have been in a journey through the book of Genesis, which began in January of 2017. Gives you an idea of how amazing, prolific, abundant, and wonderful the Word of God is. Part of the reason why I've been enjoying myself, I don't know about you, but enjoying just the reading through of Genesis is because it gives you a broader perspective of who God is and His Word. Sometimes when you default to a topical way of preaching, what happens is you choose the thing that you enjoy or you are bent towards. By going through a particular book, you're forced to preach what's in front of you. And that's been what's happening with us as we've journeyed through Genesis. Last week, we saw the end of Abraham's life, and it's ushering in the beginning of the next generation. It forces us to look at what do you do while you're still living, which gave us a message on you instruct the next generation, you influence and inspire the next generation. At some level, you leave them an inheritance. Today, as we move forward in Genesis 25, we're in verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac. Now, the beginning of the shift into the story of Genesis, into the next generation of Abraham, the next generation of faith. For us, Abraham's son, Abraham fathered Isaac. Very clear that the shift is happening. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. Notice it says Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah. In other words, if you're nearing your 40s, there's still hope. Amen? Now, don't worry about it. It's good. Life is good, okay? Isaac had a great life, had a great family, had a great heritage. So if you're past 40, well, Abraham, well, he had one baby when he was 75, 100 years old, right? So there's hope. There's always hope is the point. Now, Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Here's a moment of prayer because somewhere along the way, history repeats itself. It seems like he marries, just like his father married a woman who was barren, he married a woman who was barren. Somehow, this familiarity in the spirit happens again. And notice that here, it is very similar in the sense that it's a lot shorter than the wait, but it's similar in the sense that Isaac was about 60 years old, verse 26 said, when she bore him. In other words, this is a 20-year wait. Now, we assume that the first year they decided that they wanted to get to know each other better and they didn't want to have a child just yet, but it's still an 18, 19-year wait. There's a long wait of time waiting for this promise. And more than anything else, this man knows that destiny is he's the next generation and he better up to moving forward and making this thing happen. Some things just don't happen the way we want them to happen. And the Bible says that the Lord granted his prayer and Rebekah was his wife conceived. Powerful when we pray. Every time you pray and listen, whatever you do in your Christian walk, if you want to know how healthy your faith is, ask yourself how often you pray. Every time you pray, every time you beseech God in any and every situation, every moment of the day that you have an opportunity to cry out to God, as Pastor Rias just said, do it. It's a mark of the health of your faith because what that means is you trust that God is working for you and is not against you. Now, the children struggled together within her. Notice where it says the children, which means they're twins. It's powerful when you get a prayer and you pray and all of a sudden God answers you twice what you were expecting. And it's also even more, it's funnier when God answers you and gives you the double portion or twice what you're asking for. And your response to God is, if this is so, why is this happening to me? In other words, she's actually complaining now. Anybody in that stage where you prayed and God give me this wife and all of a sudden you have a problem with her? Anybody prayed for a job and then you got to the job and then all of a sudden you hate your boss? You prayed this and that and you prayed for stuff and then you get there and all of a sudden you don't like the idea of what you prayed for. Be careful what you pray for because God answers prayer. The other side of that is sometimes God's will for you might result in a struggle. Now, I know that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear the prosperity and the healing message. And that's the good news about reading Genesis. I'm forced to preach this. Amen? I don't have a choice. This is the verse. What do you do when the answer to your prayer is causing you problems? What do you do with that? What do you do when the thing you prayed for is now a source of struggle? Some Christians have not learned to live life, and they denounce it, and they renounce it, and they rebuke it. I rebuke this answered prayer in Jesus' name. You prayed for this thing, and now it's happening to you, and you're struggling with it, and you refuse to accept the thing that you prayed for. Now, here's what you do. So she went to inquire of the Lord. That's what you do. Notice that the Bible puts a difference between praying and asking God things and praying when you're inquiring of God. When you're seriously coming to God, there's things that I've inquired of God for years. And I kept coming back and back and back and asking God, Lord, why? Back in the 80s, 90s, and even today, there are things I ask God, why? I'm inquiring of you. Why inquire of the Lord? Why is that necessary? Especially when you got things that you receive that have become a struggle or a situation that has become not as simple as you thought it was. Verse 23 gives us a hint. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Back in the day, there were no sonographs. There were no ultrasound systems. They wouldn't know whether people had twins or male or female. Today, we have all of that technology. Back in those days, that wasn't the reality. And when you have twins, the reality is you probably will have a higher propensity to high blood pressure because you've got two fetuses feeding on you. And when you have twins, when you have high blood pressure, the probability is you're going to get more dizzy, more confused, weaker. And she's asking the question, why is this blessing such a problem? Why is this blessing a struggle? Inquiring of God gives you clarity. And clarity is important. If you are moving forward with your life, you're looking at your boss and you're realizing, I'm not sure I like this boss. I'm not sure I like this job. I prayed for it. Now that I'm here, I'm not sure I want to stay here. But clarity only comes from God. The sonographs of today, no matter how advanced they are, can give you an idea of where an idea that you're going to have a male or a female, but can't really tell you what the destiny of that child is. Much like the upcoming, I was on my way here, I was talking to my driver and trying to start a conversation in order to probably in some way share or just pray for him. And we ended up talking about the F1, okay? Because you can see it everywhere. On your way here, you're going to see it. And you know the F1's coming, but you don't know who's winning, amen? There's things that God's going to give you an ability to see a peek, a window of the general direction and have clarity to give you hope so you can move forward. What you need is not the specifics. What you need is clarity. Clarity takes away the fog and allows you to see forward and believe that you can move forward. Not the specifics, but the general idea of where you're going. Clarity. Clarity is important because it gives you confidence. When things are not clear, there is no confidence, and that's what Rebecca needed. She needed confidence to believe that what she's doing or what's happening to her may be a struggle, may be an issue, but is going in the right way. Because God said so. God created these two fetuses. In that case, I can be confident. When I think of these two words, clarity and confidence, a powerful story that's always brought up, and you may have heard of this story, Florence Chadwick. Florence was one of the early open water swimmers. Open water swimming back in the day was rough. It was not easy. Today you see that when people do Ironman and marathons and all of these kinds of swims. Back in the day, that wasn't easy. Florence was the first woman to swim across the English Channel. In fact, she swam back and forth twice. In those days, back in the 1950s, the channel swimming is one of the sports that's most taxing. It challenges the very high rate of failure, the fact that less than 7% of those who attempt to swim across the English Channel complete the trip is a testament to the difficulty of the task. Only the very strong actually succeed. Florence had an instance where it's known as today, if you Google this, it's called the Florence Fog. Florence's fog happened when she was trying to swim across the Catalina Channel. or the Catalina Island into the West Coast, into California. And this was going to be about a 23-hour swim. And during this time, they were going to go. Got there. It was summertime, but for some reason, the water was very cold. And more than that, they sighted some sharks. And so now they're following her, and there were sharks in the water. And as she was swimming right there, in our 20th or 22nd hour, a dense fog came. And right there, as she swam, she stopped and spoke to her mother, who was in a boat that was following her, making sure she didn't get eaten by sharks or drowns because she's too tired. And she expressed to her how, "I can't see through the fog. I think I'm going to stop here." She got on the boat, and lo and behold, as they went through the fog, they realized she was literally 1 mile away, and she could have easily done it. The loss of clarity made the loss of confidence. The loss of confidence made her stop from fulfilling the very thing she set out to do. And many times when we don't know how to inquire of God, that clarity doesn't come. Hence, the confidence is not there. Words of Florence Chadwick says, "If I had seen the shore, I would have continued on. If there was just a little bit of clarity that was given me, I could have made it." About 2 months later, she did the same thing. The same cold water, the same sharks, and then the same fog arrived. But the difference now was that she had a clear understanding that she could picture in her own mind, and that gave her confidence to make it to the shore. Florence is now was a stockbroker. She was a writer. She was an inspiration to a lot of young people. And Florence Fogg is actually a legend story now that is being told everywhere. We're even talking about it today. When you have clarity, you'll have confidence. But Genesis chapter 25, verse 23 says, "Two nations are in your womb, but beyond that, the two peoples from within you shall be divided." This is interesting. God's saying, you know, this is the destiny. This is the plan. This is what's going to happen. While you're going to have a double portion of grace and all the things that God has, the struggle doesn't end there. "The other one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." Basically, what God is saying is not just clarity and confidence. There's such a thing as comfort to know that God knows what's going on. Herein lies one of the probably the weakest link in Christianity today. Is people are looking for prosperity and success, and people are looking for answers and not realizing the sovereignty of God. That there are things in your life that will not be fully clarified, that will not be fully answered, but you're going to have to believe that God is sovereign and God is orchestrating His steps, and that if you trust Him and carry on, that destiny will be there. As I thought of how to illustrate this particular point, I thought of the story of yet another swimmer, actually not swimmer, but a surfer this time, and her name was Bethany Hamilton. Bethany was a young girl, grew up in the island of Oahu and Kauai, and was a surfer. And she was destined to be one of the greatest surfers in the world. But when she was about 13 years old, she was swimming out in the water, and literally a 14-foot shark bit off her arm. Lost her arm, and because of that, she bled, lost 60% of her blood. She was dying in the hospital. I won't show you the gruesome moment that happened. We could Google that tonight. But within about 3 weeks, Bethany, who grew up as a Christian, by the way, the interesting part of the story is that Bethany was talking to her mom about her destiny about a week before her arm was ripped off. Think about that. You're talking about your destiny to become a world-class surfer, and the next week your arm's gone. Amen? Sovereignty. And you're probably saying, what kind of a God is like that? He's sovereign. Amen? None of your business. Trust Him. 3 weeks later, Bethany decides, I'm destined to do this. God has a reason. He is sovereign. She gets out there and she becomes a world-class surfer. The result is a best-selling book. Number one in the New York Times, Soul Surfer. Two movies. An amazing documentary about her life. More importantly, glorifying God with her life and telling the whole world that despite what happens to you, God is in control. Are you here? Yes. You didn't like that, didn't you? You want everything just to happen just right. But that's not the way God works. Your confidence comes from clarity. Clarity and confidence, unfortunately, will not be enough to see you go the distance. You're going to need the comfort of the understanding that regardless of what is happening or regardless of what God planned, He is sovereign and He is in control. As I land this message, how does inquiring of the Lord work? How does it work? How does this thing work? I mean, okay, I get it, okay? If I don't inquire of the Lord, I won't have clarity. If I don't have clarity, I'll have confusion. I'll have dizziness. I'm going to have all of these issues in my life. If I have clarity, I'm going to have confidence. If I have confidence and comfort in God, I can go the distance. How do you inquire of God? Let me just make it clear to you. Here's how you don't do it. Where will I be 10 years from now? Amen? That's not what it means. What is the future of my children? Okay, the future of your children is going to be great. Okay, the specific is that you're going to be architect or businessman or musician or swimmer or surfer or one-armed surfer. You don't know that. How can I sustain my current costs? How do I sustain this life? I mean, it gets costly every year. How do I do that? Here's how you inquire of God. You're not inquiring of God about these things. You're inquiring of God, God, what are your commands? I know this is not a popular message, but that's what you do. That's what you need to know. That's how you get clarity. You know, you will never have clarity or confidence if you don't know for sure that you're obeying God. A lot of times, the reason why we have all this confusion and all this doubt is because we know for sure we're not obeying Him. If you're inquiring of God, you want to know, what are your commands? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. They're things that you're never going to know about. But the things revealed belong to our children and to us. What are the revealed things? Repentance, faith, truth, love, joy, peace, patience. More you clarify those commands and obey those commands, the clearer life gets. When God says, you want clarity, you go learn my commands. You learn my commands, you're going to have clarity, comfort, confidence, and safety, that you may do all the words of the law. The whole point of this, the whole point of clarity, so you can live the way God wants you to live. The answers to these questions, what's going to happen to the trade war, is beyond you and me. The answer, I ask God a lot of these questions, and God will say to me, Joey, none of your business, amen? What's going to happen to Hong Kong, Lord? Because there's so many people involved, it's none of your business. What's clarifying for me and what I'm inquiring of God is, Lord, what is your command? What is your counsel? Are you asking God for counsel or are you asking God just to solve your problem? I like people who pray this. Lord, I pray that you give me a virtuous wife, a beautiful wife, a submissive wife, and a wealthy wife. And Lord, help me get along with all four of them. Amen? How many of you know that's not going to happen? You didn't seek God's counsel. You just want what you want. Did you seek God's counsel? Lord, help me be the husband that you want me to be for this woman. Help me manifest Christ-likeness. Help me manifest love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Help me manifest encouragement. Romans 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is a matter not of eating or drinking, but of righteousness. If you want to see clarity, confidence, comfort in the kingdom of God, seek righteousness. God, what is right? God, how do I do this right? Because out of righteousness comes peace. And out of peace comes joy. And the counsel does not come from men, it comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you don't seek the counsel of men. You seek the counsel of men whom you know have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit moves through them as well. Smart people understand that. That inquiring of God is not simply getting answers to my questions about my finances or what color car should I buy or what carpet should I buy. It is inquiring of the commands of God, the counsel of God, and of course, common sense. God gave you common sense. That's why it's common, amen? It's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be something that is real to you. One sense of common sense, if at first you don't succeed, try doing it your parents what your parents told you. That's common sense, amen? You saw what your parents did, the righteous ones, the ones that created peace, the ones that created joy. My father passed away a few years ago, and every now and then I'll remember stuff that he did. He remembered, he taught me, everywhere you go, carry a handkerchief. He told me that. It was a little boy. He said, carry that. You know why? You'll never know when you need it. And you know what? Last Friday, I was at a restaurant, and I saw a woman crying. I think she's here. I invited her. And I walked up to her and said, why are you crying? And I said, hey, use this. You can have it. Got that from my dad. Common sense, right? Certain things are just common. They're just store everyday things that God's given you. If at first you don't succeed, try doing what your parents told you. Or, if at first you don't succeed, try doing what your wife told you. Amen? Those of you men who insist on doing it your way without inquiring of your wife, God gave you a helpmate. Amen? Get a hint. God did not need a woman a helpmate. Men need helpmates. Interesting word, by the way, that word helpmate. It doesn't mean helper. It means a partner during war times. That's what it means. Common sense. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Now, there are times when God's going to tell you to jump when you don't see anything. There are times when God's going to tell you to walk the tightrope or walk on water and believe that. If you have peace with that, if you know that's the righteous thing to do, if you have joy in doing it because you believe that God told you to do it, then go do it. But for the most part, most of life is common sense. It's being prudent. It's being wise. It's just looking out for what doing what's right. Finally, divine circumstances. This is how you know that you are in the middle of God's will. There are circumstances that you find yourself in. Probably one of the most amazing stories about this divine circumstances is the story of Esther. Queen Esther was an orphan, and they were slaves, and the king fell in love with her. And in those days, the rule of the king was if you entered without permission in his court, as in this particular depiction of this artist, you could be killed. But it got to the place where the other gentleman in this picture had set up the Jews to be annihilated. Genocide was about to happen. And the only hope was for Esther to come and intervene. And so her uncle, Mordecai, came to her. And she said, you got to do this. You got to step in there. And she said, well, I can't do that. I mean, I'm not allowed to do that. I could get killed if I went there. Catch those verses in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. For if you keep silent this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And I love the next verse. And you need, as a Christian and as a believer, as a follower of God, you need to know this verse. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Circumstances have set you up to be the person, to be the one, to be the answer. There is such a thing as divine circumstances. Places that you did not intend yourself to be in, but God put you there. And that's how you know. When you move in these places, the counsel of God, the commands of God, the common sense that God's given you, and the divine circumstances that God's put you in, you will find clarity. You will find confidence. And you will find the comfort of God in your life. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your holy word. Just be still for a minute. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Holy Spirit speaks in a whisper, in a voice, in a verse that reminds you, in a thought, through a past experience, through a circumstance you're facing right now. He speaks. And God, thank you for your holy word this morning. I pray for your people, Lord, that you would cause these words to become true to us. Lord, as we seek you, we're not just seeking for answers. It's one thing to pray and ask you, as Isaac did. But there's a difference when we're praying to inquire of you, to get clarity, to get confidence, and to find comfort. Teach us, Lord, that when we inquire of you, we're inquiring of your commands, your wisdom, and your counsel. The very common sense you've given us through whether parents or family, relatives, or even bosses. And Lord, thank you that you've given it not just common sense, but you've given us divine circumstances. Seal this truth in each of our hearts. We honor you. We glorify you. Lord, even as we worship you one last time this morning, may you be glorified. May the world know that you are in control of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.